turn on my God for music. And the Lord showed me that you can get back up. You know, that's this week, this message was going through my mind this week. I had a young fella call me this week who was like, I was a mentor to him. He was at a church of mine back in Leavenworth, Kansas.
All right.
He called me this week. He said, Brother Malcolm, he said, I need to talk to you for a second. Mm-hmm. You know, I had heard some things that the young kid was doing. You know how you hear people saying, hey, this kid's not doing well. Mm-hmm. You know, right before I went to Turkey, I talked to the kid. And I said, listen, man, I said, you got to get your life right. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to call you and call you out and tell you what you're doing wrong. I say, but I'm a fall, but I feel like I owe you something.
All right.
Come on. I talked to the kid. Yeah. Kid called me last week. Mm-hmm. He said, brother, I have to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I knew then, something deep down in my heart, something was wrong with this kid because he was crying out. Mm-hmm. He said, brother, now, he said, no. Kid, 21 years old. He said, you know, I got diagnosed with HIV. Mm-hmm. 21 years old. God knows this, but he said, I went to jail. He said, I got raped in jail. I thought, man, gave me HIV. You know, I was sitting there, but you know how it is. Minister, you always got to be on your P's and Q's. And all day I could talk about this word with Peter because I had been reading Peter that morning. You know, I told him Peter had a life where he was down. But Peter had a point in his life where he got back up.
Amen.
You know, I told him, I said, son, I said, look at Magic Johnson. I said, Magic Johnson had HIV, but he went on, he probably one of the richest sports figures that we have ever seen.
That's right.
Because he got back up.
Uh-huh.
You know, someone's out there today, this message is that you may be down.
All right.
But you can get back up.
Amen.
You know, when I started examining Peter, I looked at the 26th chapter of Matthew. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Peter. And I look what Jesus took Peter to Gethsemane, to the Mount of Olives. Mm-hmm. And they say, Jesus took the 11 disciples with him.
Mm-hmm.
He took them to the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
And he said, it was at the gate. You know, if you go back and read history, you know, it was somebody, probably a guardian, that they was using, that Jesus was in trouble, that he went to pray.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can imagine that he took the 11 disciples with him to the Mount of Olives. And he told Peter and the two brothers of Zebedee, he said, hey, I want you to come in with me. Mm-hmm. Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, with him. And they say Jesus went up and he started to pray. And he told the three brothers, he told Peter and the two brothers, he said, pray. And stand watch.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And I'm examining this figure of Peter, but he said Jesus went out and prayed and stood watch, but when he came back, they was fast asleep.
Mercy.
They was fast asleep. Mm. Say Jesus, and sorrow was on his heart because he knew what he had to endure. He knew the cup, what he had to take place.
All right.
And he said he came back. He said he told him, say you couldn't pray for an hour. That would have got me a little motivated to pray for this man who I had walked with, who I had seen all the miracles that had occurred.
All right.
So he went back up, Deacon Bell, and he started to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Started to feel sorry.
Yeah.
And he came back down again, and he saw all three sleep again.
My
he shook his head, and he went back up. Mm-hmm. So he went back up again. Mm-hmm. Came back down again, and they were still sleeping.
My Lord.
He told them to come with me. But I examined Peter as his figure that had walked with Jesus all this time. But yet and still, I saw a man that was filthy. You know, you can be strong, but you still can have fear.
Yeah.
You know, when I looked at Peter, when I'm down a little bit further, I looked at Peter. When all of a sudden, they say the legion of men came in. If you read down in 26 a little bit further, and you know, you always look at this right here, but it was soldiers that actually came down to arrest Jesus with the high priest. And you know, if you read history, they say, no, man, you know, it's a pretty good number of people. It's not like one or two people. They say anywhere can be 600 people that can come down in that company. They never said a number, but I was always thinking it might have been five or six or whatever. But you read theology. When they said that Roman company out to protect the traditions, it's about 600. 600 people in that car. And they said all of a sudden, said the man laid hand on Jesus, and all of a sudden they say, Peter did what? He took his sword out. And he cut the high priest's servant, ear off. And they said, if the high servant had to move his head, he would have cut his neck off. But I looked at Peter acting out before it was time to act out. Because you know, when Jesus stands alone, you don't have to do anything with Jesus. Jesus will stand alone.
Amen.
But if you really looked at Peter, Peter was a man that had some issues. Mm-hmm. He was a man just like you and I.
That's right.
That had issues. Mm-hmm. If you really examine yourself today, some of you may came in here today. Maybe you may have been a little bit down. But Jesus is telling me he can pick you up today.
Amen.
He can provide all your needs today. You know, when you're going through the day, and I read my text scripture today. You know, I really thought about the old saying that my third grade teacher used to always say. It's not how you start the race, but how you finish it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I like about Peter was that Peter raised it, he started out a little bit slow. But I like the way Peter finished the race.
Yeah, that's the race.
You know, my third grade teacher always used to tell me that story about the turns and the hammer. You know, when you get, she always used to make her read that story. I just like Miss Reed to sit down and read that story, children to her. When all they say that the turns and the hammer, they got a line they was gonna race. And all of a sudden, that old hell was talking big smack. Oh, I'm going to beat the turd. Because it's a turd, you know. And that old turd, he sit there, he said, all right, you're going to beat me, go ahead. And all of a sudden, but you know one thing about that turd was? That turd could have easily said, well, I'm not going to run this race. I'm going to sit down and I'll let this thing go ahead and win this race and save my engine. But I like the fact that the turd, he gave it up.
Yeah.
And then they say the old rabbit went out and said he was a long ways in front of the turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he got a little happy. He said all of a sudden he laid down and took him a old nap.
Mm-hmm.
And he said all of a sudden an old turtle came by. I'm pretty sure he was just going. If you see a turtle, that's the slowest thing in the world. He was going. All of a sudden he looked.
Mm-hmm.
He passed an old rabbit. All right, that's all right. Old rabbit woke up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
Old turban had crawled the finish. Church is not how you start,
That's right. But
how you finish.
Amen.
God is telling me today you may be down, but you're not out.
Yeah, right.
When we start examining today's scripture, we looked at verse 69, it starts out.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Peter was sitting in the courtyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And a servant girl came to him and she said, you are with Jesus of Galilee, she said.
Mm-hmm.
But he denied it before them. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I found interesting is the same man that just had to cut off this high priest servant ear.
Mm-hmm.
He was scared to give an answer to the servant girl when she asked him, was he with Jesus of Galilee? You know, the thing that put in my spirit was, you know, Peter was there prepared. When you go back and look at this chapter 26 was that Peter was at a point where he didn't pray. He did stuff on his own. Church, God is telling me today here that when you're down, you got to get on your knees and you got to serve him. You know, it was plenty of days in church out of those 5 months that I knew that I couldn't make it without him. You know, plenty of days that, you know, you want to tell the truth was, Brother Matt was a little depressed. But it was plenty of days that God put on my heart. He said, Brother Matt, Lieutenant Colonel Matt, you got to get up today.
All right.
And you got to serve me. You got to go out here with your head held high.
Yeah.
Because people are watching you.
Right.
On how you act and what you say.
Amen.
You know, my colleagues, they look at me every day.
Mm.
And they look at me and say, man, you know, certain stuff they say around other people, they don't say around me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't told one of them I was a minister. Yeah. But they know something different about Brother Matt.
Amen.
I don't have to tell them.
Right.
You know what? That's the point is that when you're down, Sister the power.
Amen.
That's your time when you got to get on your knees a little bit longer and just pray to him.
Yeah,
right. You know, when I sit down and minister to that 21-year-old kid, I told him about his mother. This is the second point I'm going to tell you. His mother had cancer for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
She held on for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
She died 5 years ago. Stage 4 cancer. And this woman came to church every day when she was taking that chemotherapy. She went through 4 bouts of chemotherapy to stay with that woman. She was black. Hands black. And the inside of her palm was just black. But I can see every single day this woman, she prayed. She would come to church and she would just praise God. Amen. And she was hurting plenty of days that she came to church and gave God reverence and praise.
Oh, yeah.
Even while she was going through.
Amen. Amen.
So when I sit there and talk to that young man, I told him, I said, man, your mother. Mm-hmm. Your mother was down, son. Mm. I said, plenty of days I seen your mother just sit there, and I know she was hurt when she came to church. But yet and still, your mother continued to praise God no matter what she was going through.
Right, right, right.
You know, when you're going through, that's the time when you just got to hold on.
Yeah.
You got to know your change is coming.
Yeah.
You know, a period of time when you have no light at the end of the tunnel, you just got to hold on and grab until the change of hand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when I've been down.
Yeah.
But I can look at him and know where my help is coming from. Today that made me want to give up today.
Yeah.
And I don't know who that person is today, but they may came to him today. And they may be looking for a touch of the hem of his garment.
Yeah.
But I'm right here to tell you, just hold on.
Yeah.
Your change is coming.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hold on. You know, it feels good. You know, I was sitting there this weekend, and all of a sudden, you know, I was struggling with it this week, and I was thinking about this young man. And I was sitting in the gym this week, and I saw this guy in the gym that I had worked out with maybe one time. And he walked up to me, and I said, man, how you doing? He said, I'm doing all right. He said, you know, I got a real bad illness in my family. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm holding on, man. He had a cross right in his neck, man. He said, man, I'm believing, man.
Amen.
He said, man, I'm believing in a miracle. And this guy, we just started talking about how good God was.
All right. All right.
But this guy, man, he uplifted me so much. He said, man, I'm just holding on.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I'm just holding on. He said, I don't know what it is, but he said, man, I'm just. And we in the gym, and I came home and I told my wife. I said, this guy came up to me, baby, and we just had a conversation with my God about he said he was just holding on.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you out there today that may be looking, just hold on.
Hold on.
You know, some of you may be in the storm. Hey, some of you may be going in the storm, or some of you may be coming out the storm, but God is telling me to just hold on.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm down, but I'm not out.
Yeah.
All right. You know, when I started examining, you know, when I looked at too what Peter was. You know, Peter was in a place, he was around the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the wrong place.
Yeah.
He was at the wrong time, and he was saying the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sister Bella, how many of us can put ourselves in that position where we can be in the wrong place?
Yeah.
The wrong time, with the wrong people saying the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, you know, he was outside of the courtroom, so they was trying to look for what verdict they was going to give on Jesus' faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet and still, he was outside of this courtyard. With all these people that didn't believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus was telling me today, in order for you to get up and get off the mat, you got to watch out the company that you keep.
Yeah.
Like this young man I was talking to, he kept some bad company. You know, but God will put you in a place where he'll let you go through some things to get you where you need to be.
Right.
And that's a tough lesson for us to understand, but you know, Jesus will do that. You know, and as you go down, you know, in the verse, and he says, then he went out of the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with the oath. He said, I don't know the man. You know, at least Peter had enough sense enough to get out of there. You know, Peter recognized he is now over here. So he quickly moved out of the light of the fire towards the gate. So that if a quick escape is necessary, he have a head start to get away. Another girl probes further, but this time the issues of allegiance to Jesus become more public as she announces the crowd about who he was. You know, church, you know, we got to understand who we are.
Right.
You know, as Christian, we have to take a stand. You know, what Peter did was Peter didn't take a stand for nothing. When the girl started probing and started questioning him, what did he do? He turned and ran the other way. You know, all this stuff that we go through as a church, you know, you got all these lobbyist groups. They speak more loud than we are as a church.
Amen.
You know, you're looking at the marijuana laws that's taking place. You know, they passed marijuana in two states, Colorado and Washington. And those lobbyist groups spoke up Pastor Moore than the Christian groups spoke up.
Amen.
Where are we headed? This homosexuality. You know, I saw the other day when they passed a law with New Mexico, I think. Another state that passed gay rights. Same-sex marriage. But where are the churches speaking up? Where are we speaking up? You know, when we get speak up, we end up getting put out.
Amen.
You know, just like this week on the guy from Duck Dynasty was a big thing was that he plays on, I haven't seen the show, but he spoke out against it. He said he didn't agree with it. And then A&E put the guy over there. They suspended him. Say, you talking about some stuff we don't like. But when are we as a church?
Jesus.
So Dr. Bell going to speak up and say that this is wrong.
Amen.
We too are willing to admit when something ain't right for them. But we don't say anything for us, though.
Amen.
We continue to be quiet as a church. And church, I'm telling you right now, we have to stop. Because we headed down the wrong path.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at countries like Turkey, they judge us as America on what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they say, you know, they look at us, observe our culture, and they'll say, you know, hey, man, y'all heading down the wrong path, man. And you know what I can't say? I said, man, I agree with you. But the thing is, I find interesting is that Deacon Bell, they headed down the wrong, they're the same path that we are. Most of their stuff on TV is Western stuff on what we believe, and their kids are dressing the same way with their pants down, with their hat on back, and this is a Muslim country. But we have to speak up and say something.
Amen.
You know, as you go down, I got three more verses, I'm going to sit down. After a while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accents gives you away. Then he began to come down, call down curses on himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And he swore to him and said, I don't know the man.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately a rooster crowed.
Mm-hmm.
Then Peter remembered Jesus had spoken before the rooster crowed, you would disown me three times.
Yeah.
And he went outside and wept bitterly. Mm-hmm. You know, this right here was a changing point for Peter. You know, Peter went outside and he crowed, he cried because he had disowned Jesus three times. Jesus had told him in earlier scriptures that he was going to disown him.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter had so much pride where he said, Lord, I won't disown him.
Mm-hmm.
But how many is out here today that are doing the same thing that disowning Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you look at this right here, now we spoke about all the negative of Peter. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about when Peter going to get back up.
Yeah.
Right,
right.
You know, you always got to have a comeback.
Right.
Now, when I look at Peter, I turned to verse 21. It said Jesus had been raised from the dead. John chapter 21. And he was cooking breakfast for his disciples on the beach while they were back on the boat. They say John recognized it was Jesus. But it was Peter who could not wait to pull the boat ashore. They say Peter jumped in and started swimming toward Jesus. After practice, Jesus addresses the most important response to failure and guilt.
Mm.
They say, Jesus asked Peter a question three times. He said, Peter, do you love me?
Do you love me?
He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Peter, do you love me? To each question, Peter responds, Lord, you know that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Peter responds that night of grief in his farewell because he saw his sentence.
Yeah.
He also saw his Savior. No matter how awful his denial was, no matter how great his sin was, Peter understood that God's love for him was far greater.
Yeah.
And that's why he wept.
Yeah.
Jesus responded, he told Peter, he said, Peter, feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Feed my lambs.
Right.
Christ did not promote Peter because of his infidelity. He did not put him on probation because of his denial.
Mm.
Christ restored Peter, not because of Peter's tears, but because of the work Christ accomplished for Peter on the cross.
Yeah, all right.
Christ restored Peter because of Christ was risen from the dead, so Peter was raised to a new life.
All right.
Your life may hold some mistakes, Your life may hold some things.
All right.
You may have a spoiled marriage. You may have a tragic accident. You may be dealing with something that's going on that's poisoning your health. Mm-hmm. You may be denying your faith. You may feel terrible. It seems the hurt may never go away.
Yeah.
Healing can take a long time. Mm-hmm. But the end of the story is forgiveness and restoration.
All right.
No failure or mistake is beyond repair.
Amen.
Remorse need not be given the final word. Mm. Like Peter, we need to remember the words that Jesus has spoken. That we are very weak and the now is very real. Mm. The unbelief in the crowd, our faith, is quickly to sin. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants us to remember this for a reason. But when we find ourselves spiraling out of control, we need to look to Jesus to get us back on track.
Amen.
You know, when you look at Peter, mm-hmm. Peter was a person that had failed.
Yeah. All right.
Peter was a person that was down. Mm-hmm. But our light was that when you look at Acts, and one of the persons that spoke Jesus aloud was Peter. Jesus is talking to somebody out here today.
Amen.
That you may be down, that you may be out. But he's telling you today that he can pick you back up.
All right.
I don't know what you're going through today.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you're facing today. Mm-hmm. But you might came here today with a little hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you right now, Jesus is the only thing that can pick you up.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, Peter had went through his trials and tribulations in life. Mm-hmm. But he knew to hold on to Jesus and unchanging hands. Mm-hmm. God is speaking to somebody that there was a church of hope. Maybe stay. Mm-hmm. Down, but not out.
Amen.
Maybe somebody here today that may need Jesus Christ to come in their life today. Jesus opened his hand for you today to come up and accept him as who he is.
Yeah.
Maybe you experience some heartburn. Maybe you experience some pain. But Jesus can heal all your tears.
Yes, he can.
Do we have one today? You know, I can remember that day in 1996 when I accepted Jesus Christ in my life.
Right.
The young Tate career. When I walked into church and I was just like him, I was down. But when I accepted Jesus Christ in my life that day, he picked me back up and my life has never been the same. Jesus may be talking to somebody today that you need him to hold on to his unchanging hand. Peter didn't stay there. Do we have one today? Do we have anyone today looking for a church home? Maybe you want to make Little Forest Baptist Church your home. This is your opportunity. Maybe you need prayer today. Maybe you came today with your tank half empty. But I'm here today to tell you Jesus Christ can fill your tank today. He can give you a second chance. Maybe you were just like Pete. Do we have one today?
Invite you to step out.